With the help of our Heavenly Father, and in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I desire that we read from Leviticus chapter 25, from the beginning of this chapter, 10 verses. And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruits thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beast that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. And thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years. And the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall he make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you, and ye shall return every man unto his possession, and ye shall return every man unto his family. This far I desire that we read in our first reading this afternoon. And now let us join our hearts and minds in a prayer and thanksgiving to the Lord. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, in many ways thou didst prophesy, in many ways thou didst herald the coming of that great and glorious day when thine only begotten Son, our blessed Redeemer, shall come to this earth to proclaim that year of Jubilee. The year when the yokes will be broken, the year when the chains of slavery will be broken, the year when the chambers of prison will be open, the year when everyone will be invited to receive that freedom, the liberty in Christ, and join the voices of the redeemed ones to praise thy great and holy name. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, how great is thy goodness and mercy, how great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Thou hast given thy law to the children of Israel, that through that law thy people may see and understand that thou art holy and perfect, wonderful, righteous, and just in all thy ways. And the children of men are living with many weaknesses, shortcomings, and mistakes. And yet, O Heavenly Father, it is thy good and pleasant will, it is the decision of thy perfect wisdom, that in spite of our weaknesses, thy goodness and grace may shine forth in its fullness. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we thank Thee for Thy goodness. We thank Thee for that grace in Christ. We praise Thee, Lord, for the salvation on Thy merit. For Thou hast opened the heavenly portals. Thou hast sent down Thy Holy Son to be the Redeemer of the lost, to be the Shepherd to Thy sheep, to gather Thy flock into Thy fold, and to reach back the heavenly heights, leading the multitudes of those that Thou hast chosen and saved. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou grant us that deep gratitude to fill our hearts, and that our souls may overflow with praises of Thy holy name. Thou, Heavenly Father, adorn our lips with the songs of Zion, and Thou fill our days with a zeal for Thy holy name, and Thou grant us Thy goodness and grace, the power of Thy Spirit, and that inner strength for the inner man, that we may walk after the Savior, and in the midst of difficulties, and facing many trials, O Lord God Almighty, that we may look way forward to that blessed heavenly land, where there will not be any more tears nor sighs, where the throng of the redeemed ones will join with the heavenly host in worshiping Thy glorious and wonderful name, O God. So we pray that Thou daily renew Thy forgiveness, daily confirm that it is still the day of grace, the year of Jubilee, the time of redemption through Christ, by, O Heavenly Father, Thy great goodness and mercy, by the purity of Thy holy word, purifying our thinking, emotions and affections, and by the continual presence of Thy Spirit, sanctifying our souls to make us free from bitterness, cruelty. To make us free, O Heavenly Father, from wrath, vengeance, envy, and every wickedness. To make us pure and holy in Christ, O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, that we also may follow in His steps and in self-denial accept the burden of our cross, that we also may patiently bear, even so as to bear the burdens of one another, that we may gladly forgive, that we may also share Thy goodness and Thy love. Gracious Lord, fill our hearts with that holy faith of the prophets, apostles, faith in the faithfulness of our blessed Redeemer. Thou fill our days with that blessed hope of ages that Thou hast proclaimed even so long ago through Enoch, the seventh man after Adam, that Thou art coming with many thousands of the heavenly hosts to bring the judgment and redemption, salvation. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou fill our days with charity and loving kindness. Thou grant us zeal and Christian harmony, that we may, O Heavenly Father, proclaim the good news, the year of Jubilee, and invite the souls around us, O Lord, to enter into that liberty in Christ. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, watch Thou over us and protect us. And today with Thy Holy Spirit lead us, and by Thy word teach us. Reveal Thy will unto us, O Lord. Make us faithful and fruitful, blessing and multiplying Thy holy word, multiplying the fruits of Thy Spirit, that indeed the seal of Thy adoption in Christ may be upon our foreheads and our right hand. That we may walk upon the path of righteousness, that we may feed our souls, O Heavenly Father, on Thy green pastures, and refresh our hearts from the fountain of life, that living water, the teaching of Christ. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, Thou grant healing to those that are sick. Thou renew the spiritual strength to those that are weak. Thou, O Heavenly Father, seek and find the lost. Thou bring comfort to those that are sad. And Thou, Heavenly Father, raise the dead into that new life, life in Christ. Thou give new courage to those that are in distress, and Thou bring deliverance to those that are oppressed. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, let not the scepter of the wicked one triumph over the portion of the righteous one, for we are Christ's inheritance that Thou hast given to him, O Lord. Thou defeat the enemy. May the power of Thy Spirit prevail. May the strength of Thy Spirit be manifested in our lives. Thou lead us in true godliness, faithfulness and zeal, that the beauty of Thy holy gospel may be revealed and the truth shine forth, that those that seek Thee may find Thee, O Heavenly Father. Thou exalt and glorify the name of Thy holy Son, for he has also glorified Thee, O Lord. Teach us Thou, O Lord God Almighty, that spiritual worship in spirit and in truth, that in all our days we may long for that heavenly home, that in all the days of our pilgrimage we may be as the servants that are not sleeping nor being slothful, but busy in obedience to their master, waiting for the moment of their master's return. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, to Thee alone belong worship and praise, honor and glory. To Thee, O Heavenly Father, belong our life and being, this short time of our pilgrimage and through endless eternity. Amen. Amen. Through the help of our Heavenly Father again, And in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I desire that we read in our second reading this afternoon from the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 4. Let us start our reading on the verse number 13 to the verse number 20. Luke 4, correction, verse 14. Luke 4:14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and, as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. This far I desire that we read in our second reading today. In many ways, our Heavenly Father, through the law and ordinances that he gave to Moses for the people of Israel, did somehow signify the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I think if we could take time to very carefully and diligently study the Word of God, in one way or another, we could find that the coming of the Savior was announced in practically all of the Scripture. But I think that this chapter 25 of Leviticus, in a very special way, announced the coming of the Savior. It was in the land of Israel that the nation should have been a godly nation, something that many nations try to claim, something that no nation ever obtained. And even in the land of Israel, even in the years when the kings David and Solomon were ruling, still not everything was according to the Word of God. It seemed to me, beloved, that never, just never, the people of God were completely faithful to the Lord. There was always something missing. And even in the days of Solomon, when the temple was built and the cloud of God's glory filled the temple, and the Ark of the Covenant was in the most holy place, everything was arranged, and the land was blessed with abundance of everything, even in those days, the burden of the king's demands and ambitions was heavy upon the people. Even in those days, still, the people offered sacrifices on the high places. And that was against the law. The commandment was that in one place the sacrifices will be offered, and that place will be named by the name of God. But there were other things in the land of Israel and among the people of Israel, there was an idol that did not have a statue, did not have a temple, like many idols of the other nations of the Gentiles. There was an idol that had two arms and two hands. And the name of one arm was light-mindedness. And the name of the other arm was selfishness. And the name of that idol was greed and misfortune. It happened so many times in the land of Israel, probably many more times than we can find recorded in the Bible, that the people, the brothers, took advantage of one another. And the wealthy one would lend to the poor one a loan that was promising to help the poor man get delivered out of his poverty, and yet the same loan was so greedy and so designed that he, the poor one, would become even more poor and lose even more of his property, and the rich one will get even more rich, and finally the poor one had to sell everything he had because everything was burdened, cumbered with loans and credits, and finally he and his family become slaves. They lost the last thing that they had, and that's their freedom. And the Lord gave the law even before any events of this kind happened to the children of Israel. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruits thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, food for the people, for thee, for all that are in thy household, but also for strangers, for the poor, for the needy. It seemed to me, beloved, that seventh year, the whole land, all the fields and vineyards were just left alone. And everyone that was needy and poor was free to go into any vineyard and eat, into any orchard and eat, into any field and gather what they needed for food. It was a year of charity. Also, if anyone among the people of Israel was so poor that he sold himself or his family to be slaves, when the seventh year came, they were to be allowed to go free. Now, when 7 times 7 years passed, that seventh 7 years, 49 years are passed, then shall thou cause the trumpet of Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. What happened? Those that were slaves, those that were poor, those that had many debts that they could not pay back, those that were under yoke of any bondage, any burden, were sighing and waiting for the year of Jubilee. And then, when the year of Jubilee came, according to the law, the trumpet shall sound in Jerusalem. And then as that trumpet echoes through the land of Israel, another trumpet will sound in Bethlehem, and another will sound in Bethel, and then another one in Beersheba and Hebron, and all the cities of the land of Israel, trumpets are sounding and sounding, and the slaves are picking up their belongings and getting ready to return to the land of their fathers, to the homes of their predecessors, and to start living free again after a long time under the yoke. You know, I think that in many families, once they become slaves, they were separated, and perhaps for years they didn't see one another, because the masters of the slaves could sell them to another master. And so one brother would be in one city and another in another far away, and the sister in one village and another one in another one far away. And when the trumpet sounded the beginning of that year of Jubilee, everyone would return back to his inheritance. Everyone was free. All the debts, all the loans, all the obligations were just erased, forgotten. Everyone was free. It must have been a great joy in that land. But when we read through the history, we hardly find evidence that that ever happened. And it was the law. Somehow, this law did not get a real hold of their hearts. Well, years passed by. The children of Israel lived through the law, period of the law, before they got settled in the land of Canaan, and they were often rebellious. And then the Lord gave them judges, and the periods of godliness were succeeded with the periods of time of godlessness. True worship often was removed, and worship of idols was imposed. And then after Judges, they demanded a king, and the Lord gave them Saul, the son of Kish. And he was a king 40 years. He was a good king a few months. So he was a rebellious king of a rebellious people. The rebellious king turned into a tyrant and into a coward. And finally he was slain on the Mount Gilboa by the Philistines. It's hard, very difficult to understand. at least for a weak man that I am. Why a good prince like Jonathan had to die with a cruel king like Saul? But it did happen. And then King David, whose faithfulness and zeal for the Lord was given as an example to many of us, to many generations. And yet, how many terrible and bad things happened in the life of King David. And during his reign, there were two rebellions led by his own sons. And then finally Solomon was anointed king. And the whole land is under one law and one rulership. And there is no rebellion for many years. And there is abundance of everything. And the palaces are built, and the temple of the Lord, and the people are celebrating their successes. And then, since there is no enemy, Solomon becomes his own enemy. And he worships idols. Through the history of the people of Israel, God has proved to the mankind that even if he will give them everything that human mind can imagine, they will stumble again, they will sin again. And the Lord revealed that all of the mankind is in a desperate need of that year of Jubilee, when everyone will be offered liberty, freedom, when all the burdens will be taken away, all the yokes broken, and the prison bars removed, that every soul may taste of the freedom that only God can give. That freedom was prophesied through the prophet Isaiah. In the days when the children of Israel, as a state, as a nation, a country, often were endangered by the enemies because they frequently were forsaking their fortress, their safety and security, and that is obedience to the Lord their God. And the children of Israel often were thinking about the words of the prophet Isaiah and waiting for that period of time when the year of Jubilee will be proclaimed. And so, a very weak, humble and modest man of Nazareth is coming to the River Jordan, and after the testimony of John the Baptist, after the testimony of the Heavenly Father, this man of Nazareth went to the wilderness, and first time ever since the creation of the mankind, he overcame every temptation before it started. before anything found any place in his heart and mind. He had only one law, only one rule, only one desire of his soul, that the Father's will be done, that his name be honored and glorified. And so Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him, or about him, through all the region round about. And he was teaching in their synagogues, being glorified of all. The people were amazed. They were telling to one another how great and wonderful message this prophet of Nazareth is bringing. And so, going from place to place, he comes back to Nazareth, where he was brought up, where he grew up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. It seemed to me, beloved, that they had a custom, or practice, to stand up and read the Word of God, and then sit down and teach. He came to Nazareth and stood up in the synagogue to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That acceptable year was the year of Jubilee. The Lord says that that which was prophesied so long ago, that which was in the law of God, finally now is going to be fulfilled, for he has come in the power of God's Spirit. And so he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." How was the scripture fulfilled in their ears? That day and that scripture. Well, when we read through the books of the Acts of the Apostles, when we read through the epistles, do we see that all the slaves were free? Do we find that all the debts are forgiven? Are all the burdens lifted up? Or did we see something that the Lord said to his disciples, "If anyone wants to follow me, let him deny everything and even his own life, and pick up his cross and follow me"? And everyone that will for my name's sake forsake house or houses, field or fields, friends and relatives, shall receive hundredfold as much in this life, and in the life to come, life eternal. We see, beloved, that in Christ we are promised, we are offered, we are given that liberty of the year of Jubilee. We see
that the slaves are more free than the kings. We see in Christ that the wealthiest people see how poor they are. We see in Christ, beloved, that even the blind can see the regions way beyond the grave. Even the deaf can hear the voice of God's Spirit. We see that if He did heal many physically, but many more spiritually. And that year of Jubilee is still going on. But the Lord also revealed to us the other side of that year of Jubilee, that liberty in Christ. We see in the Psalms and in some prophecies how the children of Israel are pleading for mercy and deliverance for themselves, but they're also pleading for judgment and vengeance for their enemies. But our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave us freedom, that in our heart, in our soul, we may be free from the oppression of our enemy, and that we also may share the freedom with one another and with the others. He said, "Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, share, and it will be given to you, and you will receive your share. Love even those that hate you, and pray for those that persecute you." And within the household of faith, He said that all should submit to one another. That there should be that climate of submission, of love and understanding, that each one should seek to be the least one. When the disciples were arguing among themselves which one of them should be the greatest, the Lord took a child into His arms and He said, "The one that will humble himself as a child in the arms of his Savior, he will be the greatest." For those that are lowly are not threatened with calamity as the ones that are high-minded. In meekness and with a humble heart, our Lord and Savior went from place to place and proclaimed the year of Jubilee. And the invitation was, repent and believe the gospel. So, this is our message. That's the base of our faith. That is the hope of our salvation. This is our testimony, beloved, that we should share with one another and with the rest of the world, in words, in deeds, in manners, so that we can be the priests and the kings of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in meekness and with a humble heart, following in the steps of our Savior, going through this wilderness into the promised land. From Babylon or Egypt into the heavenly Jerusalem. And this word of God, the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, should be as the cloud of God's presence was to the children of Israel by daytime in the wilderness, and as the pillar of light every night, so that we can follow as our Lord and Savior Jesus is guiding us. Yes, just as the children of Israel never served the Lord perfectly, neither do we. We do have many weaknesses, shortcomings, mistakes. And sometimes we think that our mistakes are a progress, a good thing to do. And yet the Lord is revealing and correcting and patiently and kindly leading us and He is asking us that we in the same manner treat one another. Once when the Lord came with His disciples into a village of Samaritans, seeking a place to lodge, to spend the night, and then the following day to continue their journey, the Samaritans, being despised and rejected by the Jews, seeing the Lord and His disciples being the Jews, the Samaritans rejected them and did not give them hospitality. And two of the Lord's disciples said, "Master, wilt thou that we call fire to come from heaven, as Elijah did?" Well, there was quite a difference. Elijah was not seeking anybody's hospitality. The king, godless king, sent soldiers to arrest Elijah. And yet the Lord made even greater difference. He said, "No, we are not of that spirit that destroys the lives of men. I am come to save. Let us go to another place. Some other time they might be feeling in a different way." That was patience. That was reliance on the Father's will. That was an example for us. And yet, our Lord and Savior, in His meekness, in His modesty, did not hide the truth. He did cry loudly, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! How shall ye escape from the judgment? How shall ye escape the hell fire?" We see, beloved, that the Lord has given us an example for everything. And yet, it is needful for us to study the Word of God and to seek His guidance and instruction, to understand His teaching and to practice daily His will. May the Lord grant us that grace, patience, endurance, love and understanding, loving and forgiving heart, that we indeed may be taking part in this proclamation of the year of Jubilee. For today is the day of grace. Today the Lord is calling. Tomorrow He's coming back. May He also fill our hearts with gratitude for His goodness and mercy. You see, none of us is in chains. None of us is a prisoner. We are not slaves to another man, to other men. We have almost as civil freedom and liberty as the other people that have no hope. Living here on earth, for us, is not plagued as much as it was for the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. And yet we hope and expect that the difference between us and the unbelieving people will be great on the other side of the grave. Shall we not be willing to accept a little bit more of a difference on this side of the grave? Perhaps we should think a little bit more of our covenant with the Lord and desire to serve Him more than until now. For truly to Him belong our life and living, worship and praise, honor and glory forever. Amen. You could have noticed that in this chapter 25 of Leviticus, the commandment was, when you reach the land into which I am leading you, the promised land, that they will receive in for their inheritance, then this law was to be practiced. Then this law of all-inclusive, general freedom, liberty will be exercised. And the announcement of that day and year of Jubilee was to be made with trumpets, loud proclamation throughout the land of Israel. We read that in the scripture that there will be another trumpet, there will be another proclamation when the strife is ended and when the mission, the task, assignment of the Word of God is fulfilled, then the last trumpet will sound, heralding the coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then all those that are today made free from the power of sin will be delivered from the presence of sin. There, in the kingdom of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, there will be that perfect freedom, that perfect rest. There will be no yoke, no chain.